Beloved, I greet you all in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. May I request you kindly to turn your Bibles to the second epistle of Peter and chapter 1. Second epistle of Peter and chapter 1. This small passage which we have been reading time and again as we have been meditating on the subject, partakers of the divine nature. And shall we read verses from 1 to 4, alternatively responsive reading? I'll read first verse, and all of you kindly read second verse. Then again, I'll read third verse, and please read fourth verse. Second epistle of Peter, and chapter 1, verses from 1 to 4. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. And verse 3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. May our living God speak to us through his living word this morning. As the topic we have been meditating from the word of God is partakers of the divine nature, that we see from the fourth verse, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. The word of God exhorts us, reminds us time and again that we are living in the world which is full of corruption, that is decay, destruction, and there is evil everywhere. There is violence, there is unholiness, and we are living in such a world. This is not a new thing. Right from the beginning, last time we have seen in the days of Noah, how entire world was full of evil and people were following all the evil ways, turned away from the living God. And the same thing continues. Even in the New Testament, we see there is everywhere evil and corruption. And the word of God exhorts us that we have to turn away. We have to come out of this evil. We have to escape from the coming destruction and the judgment of God. We have to come away. And this corruption through our lust. Because this world is like a vanity fair. If we keep moving in this world, everywhere there are temptations, attractions, and they want to divert our attention, drive us away from the ways of God, and all these evil ways ultimately lead us to destruction. That is what the exhortation we get from the word of God. And God wants us to be brought out of this destruction, out of this corruption, out of these evil ways through our lust. That is not lusting, not to have evil desire from this world, and to come away and to be the partakers of the divine nature. This word, partakers of the divine nature. I give you a small illustration. We take part in the table here. There is bread representing the body of Lord Jesus Christ that was broken on the cross. And there is cup on the table. And there is wine in the cup representing the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on the cross of Calvary for the remission of our sins. So we take part in the bread and we take part in the wine. That means we are partakers. We are partakers of this table. We are partakers of this bread. And we are partakers of this wine. And it is a symbolic representation. We are partakers of the body of Jesus Christ. And we are partakers of the blood of Jesus Christ. So when we are taking part, what is happening? For example, daily you eat food and you drink water. What is happening? Since how long you have been eating food? Maybe after reaching 6 months old, when you are so young, and how much food you have eaten so far, consumption. Have you ever made any calculation? And definitely tons and tons and tons of rice or wheat or whatever it is, you have eaten. It may surprise you, but it is a reality. And we drink water. How much water we have drunk so far? Gallons and gallons of water. And what is happening to all this? Did you realize at any time? The reality is, the fact is, the food you are eating is becoming a part of your body, right? And the water you are drinking is also becoming a part of your body. So it helps you in growth. And there is a lot of difference between a 1 year child and a 10-year-old boy. Growth. How it is coming? Because you are eating food and drinking water. It is becoming a part of your body and helping you to grow to maturity. Growing up, becoming taller, becoming strong, and there is muscle power, whatnot, everything. Similarly, the word of God says we should be the partakers of the divine nature. Actually, when Lord Jesus Christ was telling about the bread and cup, kindly see John's Gospel and 6th chapter. Shall we read one verse? The Gospel according to St. John, chapter 6 and verse 56. John's Gospel, 6th chapter and verse 56. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me and I in him. This verse is very, very clear. He that eateth my flesh, that means taking part in the bread, and he that drinketh my blood, taking part in the cup, representing the blood of Jesus Christ, dwelleth in me and I in him. That means I in Lord Jesus Christ and Lord Jesus Christ is in me. When I am taking part, he is coming into me and I am dwelling in him, abiding in him. I in him and he in me. We are one. There is no separation at all. I in God and God in me, we are one. And the nature also, this divine nature, God expects us to be the partakers of the divine nature, his nature, God's temperament, God's attitude, God's patience, God's long-suffering, God's love, God's holiness. You keep on telling all these things. This subject is an unending subject. As you go through the word of God, as you meditate upon the word of God, God will keep on revealing to you what is his nature, what is his attitude, and what are his likes, what are his dislikes. We may think, who is this God? How can I know everything about his nature? It's true. The word of God says, no man has ever seen God. That's what we read in John's Gospel and chapter 1 and verse 18. One verse you read, and again, first epistle of John and chapter 4 and verse 12. There also you'll see that no man has ever seen God. It is a strange thing. No man has seen God. Not even in America or in India or in any other country or in your own village or among your own society or your own church. That is what the word of God says. No man has seen. Never. And even Moses also did not see. That is what we read in book of Exodus and chapter 33 and verse 20. Exodus chapter 33 and verse 20. When Moses wanted to see God, Lord God Jehovah, he said, no. No man can see me and live ever. Nobody can see me. And he cannot live if any man sees me. Then how to believe this? A man who doesn't appear to anybody, who is not seen by anybody. And how to follow him? How to know about him? The same God came down into this world about 2017 years ago. In human form, by name Jesus Christ. He is God. And he is the creator. He was there right from the beginning. If anybody wants to see God, and Jesus Christ was there. We read from John's Gospel 14th chapter, as he was with his disciples. And Philip asked him, Lord, show us the Father. That will suffice. That will be sufficient unto us. And he asked Philip, Philip, you have been with me all the time. Did you not see me? When you have seen me, You have seen the Father also. I and my Father are one. So when we want to know the God, and when we want to understand God, and when we want to know the characteristics of God, his temperaments and his actions and his reactions, Lord Jesus Christ is there. We read so much about him in all the Gospels, about his life, right from his childhood and his behavior in the temple and his interest towards the things of Heavenly Father in heaven, to know his will and to do his will, and how he behaved when he confronted with various situations in life. What was his behavior? That is a great example before us. And when we understand more and more and more about that Lord, that will keep on changing our life. That will keep on changing our attitude. And that will keep on changing our very nature. And God expects us to be the partakers of the divine nature. I have accepted Jesus Christ about 47 years ago. I have accepted him to be my savior. Though born in a Christian family and brought up in a Christian discipline, it took 20 years for me to realize that I was a sinner and I need salvation. And this word, the living word, has led me to that savior. And it is the Spirit of God who convicted me that I am a sinner. I need salvation. And it was the person, Lord Jesus Christ, who is a reality, who granted me that forgiveness of sins when I confessed all my sins, when I repented of my sins. And though the time is 47 years since I have accepted the Lord, if you ask me today, what is your status in the Lord? I would say, I am a learner. I have been learning and learning and learning and learning. And I do not know how much I have learned, because I cannot work out the percentage. Because first of all, I cannot assess how much I have to learn. How much I have to learn about this God, the great God, the creator of the whole universe, who is omnipresent, who is omniscient, and he is omnipotent, is a compassionate God, is loving God, is kindness, and his long-suffering, and his faithfulness, and his goodness. And whatever we read from the Word of God, we'll be learning and learning and learning and learning. And we have to confess with all humility, our lifetime is not sufficient to fully learn about him. So we should never think that I know everything. I have learned everything. That is satanic. Satan says that you know everything. Then we switch off our mind to God. And we think that I know everything. No. We should keep on learning, learning from the Word of God. Therefore, this subject has got an unending limit. Being partakers of the divine nature. To know the nature of God, to learn about the nature of God. And all the things we have been teaching here, our burden is to make you interested. To read the Word of God, read the Word of God, meditate upon the Word of God, and it is that God who will reveal things to you. It is only just like to inculcate interest in you, to come to the Word of God. Many times we neglect this word, I tell you. Many times we neglect. We are satisfied with some preachers and some preachings, maybe in the church or in television or a radio speaker. Whatever it is, I don't say that they are all wrong. But we are satisfied. I heard something. But whatever we hear, comparatively, is very limited. And in our limitations, we understand things. But the real thing, which every one of us should understand, know, is to come to the Word of God. Read the Word of God. I don't know how many of you have heard about a novel writer. And his name is Lew Wallace, a very famous novel writer. And one of his publications in the year 1830 rather made him world famous. He wrote in his novel about the true life of Christ. true life of Christ depicted in a person, because novel means you should create like a fiction. And he wrote about a Jewish nobleman by name Judah Ben-Hur. And what actually I want to tell you about this, of course, that novel became a world famous, and that writer became a famous man because of that novel, because hundreds and thousands and millions of copies are being sold again and again and again. That influenced the lives of many people. But what I wanted to tell you is, when he wrote that novel, because he wants material, he wants to know about Christ, learn about Christ, the true story of Lord Jesus Christ. He was reading and reading and reading the Word of God. By the time he finished writing that novel, his life was fully transformed. He became a new man in Lord Jesus Christ. He became a true Christian because he has learned, learning, going through the Word of God, understanding. Even when you go through the Gospels, if you carefully read, meditating upon the Word, you will have the feeling of Jesus Christ giving his messages, sermons, and you are there sitting and hearing. Oh, what a wonderful experience it would be. Jesus is giving a sermon, and I am sitting in front of him and hearing that sermon. And he did many miracles. When we go through the Word of God, thrilling. Even now, this Word of God excites me very much. And every incident challenges me. Every character challenges me. How could it happen? How could these people be like this? Every life is a challenge. Every situation is a challenge. And really, this Word of God, because it is true, it is a living Word of God. And his triumphant entry into Jerusalem temple, as you have meditated, we get a feeling of all these things. The thing is, we should keep on meditating upon the Word of God. Fully believe, don't entertain any doubt. And you have to believe 100% whatever is written in the Word of God. It is Word of God. God will never speak a lie. There is no necessity for him to present a lie or to project a lie or to tell a lie to anybody. These are the realities. And when we believe it wholeheartedly, ultimately that will turn out to be a blessing in our own lives. And when we come of this experience of partakers of the divine nature, that means we must keep learning and learning and learning about this God, about his qualities, and about his attitudes. And we have to cultivate those things, because I in God and God in me, and we are one. We are one. So in order to get into this experience, the primary requirement, as we read from the Word of God, is that one should be born again. One should be born again. As you read from John's Gospel, 3rd chapter and 3rd verse, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. This is fundamental. We cannot be satisfied with our Christian life, our Christian name, our Christian activities, our Christian habits, our church-going life. I am doing this thing, I am doing that thing. That is all secondary. The primary requirement that one should be born again. Born again. And born of the Spirit of God. And by the Word of God, Spirit of God, and it is by the Word of God. And also we read from 1 Peter and 1st chapter and verse 23. It is written here, 1 Peter 1st chapter and verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God. By the Word of God. And also we read from John's Gospel, 1st chapter, 12th verse. The Word of God says, as many as received him, that means they believed in him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. When we believe in him, and this faith is bringing us to the Lord, and it is by faith we accept him to be our Savior, being born again. And the Word of God says he gives them power to become the sons of God. Sons of God? Son of God? If somebody tells you, President Donald Trump is adopting you. From tomorrow onwards, you will be in the White House. Oh, what will you think? From White House? From Monday onwards? And all the things that are happening here will not go into your mind because you are thinking, Monday I am going to White House. And because Donald Trump is adopting me, and I will be his adopted son. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is. Immediately you will take your telephone and call so many calls to India and all to all your friends and your neighbors and people in America and different states. Everybody will tell. Do you know my address from tomorrow onwards? Not the address what you are posting letters presently. White House. I am care of White House. And President Donald Trump is adopting me. But here the word of God says, God is giving you power to become the sons of God. Do you doubt it? Or do you believe it? It is written in John's Gospel, 1st chapter, 12th verse. As many as received him. Receive him by faith. He is not asking you from which country you are, what is your citizenship, what is your visa status, and whether you are from African continent or American continent or Asian continent. No, he is not asking all these things. He is not asking about our language. Nothing. Whosoever he may be, the word of God says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but shall have eternal life, everlasting life. He loved the world, all the people in the world. Are you in the world? I think so. You are in the world. I am in the world. He loves the world. That indicates he loves you and he loves me as well. And he loves everybody on the street. He loves every person. He may be economically poor or a rich man, whatever it is, he loves. But whosoever believes in him, whosoever trusts in him, whosoever accepts in him, and whosoever repents of his sins, and whosoever confesses all his sins, honestly, sincerely, should not perish but shall have eternal life. Oh, what a great experience to become the son of God. And you are becoming a citizen of heaven. There is a lot of value in this country when you are a citizen of America. American citizens will have one kind of treatment. And people of other visa status will have different status with regard to maintaining bank accounts or getting employment and so many and so on. But here not the American citizenship. Citizen of heaven. Heavenly citizen. And God is your father in heaven. What a wonderful experience it would be. And also according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. The word of God says, if there be any man in Christ. If there be any man in Christ. He is a new creation altogether. He is a new creature. In some versions it is written, in some translations, it is a new creation. Any man in Christ, if there be any man in Christ, is a new creation. So as new creation, we are living in this world, not as small gods. Partakers of the divine nature means not that God is big and mighty and great and we are small gods walking behind him. New creation, this experience of getting into the newness of life. And that is what God expects. And when we get into this experience of newness of life, when we are new creation, living in still in the world is passing away. And the things that are in the world are also passing away. And we are like pilgrims and strangers in this world. That is what we read from the word of God. The same Peter writes in his first epistle, second chapter and 11th verse. 1 Peter, 2nd chapter, 11th verse, Peter writes, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Abstain from fleshly lusts. That is what we have seen in 2nd Peter, 1st chapter and 4th verse. Escaping from the evil of the world through lust. Lust means evil desire. When we get an evil desire, we will be tempted. Will be attracted and will be caught up. And sin is very attractive. As it is attractive, it is highly destructive. It destroys, it kills our spirit, it darkens our souls, and it defiles our body. It has got dangerous effect, consequence, and the guilt of sin will be haunting. And here, beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the lust. Addressing as strangers and pilgrims. Who is a stranger? Who is a pilgrim? A man who keeps on moving from one place to another place. He doesn't consider anything to be a permanent place for him. And we are also like that, aren't we? Moving from village to village, or from city to city, or from state to state, or from country to country, and ultimately it is from one continent to another continent we have come. All the time we are on the move. We are on the move. And you just imagine where you have started your journey, where you are born. Whether it is a town or a city or a village or a remote place, the place of birth, and from there, how you have been moving. We keep on moving from place to place. And we don't have any attachment. We cannot say, this is my own. And even the word of God says, the world is passing away. And the life is passing away. We cannot cling on to anything. But many times, we set our affection on the wrong things. It may be property, or it may be money, it may be position, or it may be status. Thinking that it is permanent, it will stay along. I don't know how many of you heard about John D. Rockefeller. John D. Rockefeller was the wealthiest man of America. He was considered to be the richest American of all times. And he died in the year 1937. When he died, these reporters came to his accountant. And they asked him, how much John D. Rockefeller has left? You know the reply of that accountant? Very simple reply. A very small statement he made. Yeah, he left everything. That's all. A multimillionaire considered to be the wealthiest in America. A rich man of America, considered to be all-time rich man. So when the reply from his accountant, yes, he left everything. He left everything. That is the thing. Even we leave the world, the moment we close our eyes, that's all. Every relationship is cut off. And even our fame, our health, or our properties, or our monies, or our affections, whatever you call it. And he says, Peter writes, we are like strangers and pilgrims upon this earth. So be away from every kind of lust of this world. And when the word of God says, because we are the citizens of heaven, our affection towards the things of heaven, and we should be the partakers because we have to live in the newness of life. We are changed people, born again people, and our destination is something different. As we read from Revelation chapter 21, and John says, behold, I have seen a new heaven and new earth, and there is no more sea. And we are getting into that. And every day, our life should be a preparation. While we are heading towards that new creation, while we live upon this earth, as God's children, as citizens of heaven, how our attitudes, how our characteristics, how our life, how our behavior, everything is written in the word of God. As I told you, this subject is unending. Because the more we read, the more we meditate, the more we understand about God, and then ultimately we have to get into that. Get into that experience. And we'll think of grace, the grace of God. The grace of God, the word which we use all the time, many times. Yeah, it is by grace of God. Our salvation is by grace of God. And even Peter also, when he writes the second epistle, in the second verse he says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. Second Peter, first chapter, we have read four verses. In the second verse it is written, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God. What is this grace? In biblical perspective, the unmerited and undeserving favor of God to those who are under condemnation. Unmerited and undeserving favor of God to those who are under condemnation. Have you ever thought of this word? We read many times about this grace. To those who are under condemnation. And we are destined basically to go to destruction. The wages of sin is death, that is eternal separation from the true and living God, to be there forever and ever and ever and ever. A man has to live for eternity, either in the presence of God or in hell. That is the lake of fire. A lot of description is given about it. A man is basically a sinner and ultimately is doomed to destruction. And it is the grace of God towards, the grace being the unmerited and undeserving, the favor of God to those who are under condemnation. We are under condemnation. We are under the wrath of God and going to the destruction. Who can save us? Who can save us? There is a verse in the Bible, 2 Corinthians and 8th chapter and 9th verse. Paul's second epistle to Corinthians and chapter 8 and verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. This is the grace of God, the grace of Lord Jesus Christ. As I told you, if we want to know about God, if we want to see God, and we want to hear about God, and to know his characteristics, his attitudes, his behavior, Lord Jesus Christ is the best example. He's God who came down into this world. And he's our example. And daily we have to look unto him. Through his word, we can understand things about him. And you know the grace. Here the word of God says, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich. What was his richness? Don't think it was richness of John D. Rockefeller. He earned millions and billions of dollars. But ultimately, he left everything, as his accountant has said. Not only about him, about every one of us. Richness means, wealth means, immediately we think of the things of this world. They're only for a season. They will disappear. As I tell you, this world is like a vanity fair. And the word of God describes it in many ways. Even Peter also writes about our life. Kindly see 1 Peter and 1st chapter, 24th verse. 1 Peter, 1st chapter, 24th verse. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. Will anybody accept this? If anybody comes and tells, hey, you're grass. Mr. Grass, come here. What will be your reaction? You call me grass? No, sir. I am not calling you, but Bible is calling. It is applicable to everybody. All flesh is like grass. That means for a short time. You see in the morning, very green color, very lushy green. You appreciate it. But the same grass in the evening, that is withered away when the sun blows hot and the color changes. And sometimes it becomes a faded one. And the flower thereof, flowers are very beautiful. And America is known for the beauty of these flowers. And especially now in the spring season, you must see. Now it started already. While you keep driving, you look right and left and right. You see so many colors. And so many color combinations. Those flowers very rarely you see elsewhere. And this is the beauty. And the word of God says, and how long this beauty lasts? It's for a short time again. Once the season goes, that is finished. And winter comes in America. Hibernation. People are just like birds in the nest. And 6 months, they have to wait to come out. And daily you have to watch the temperatures. And how to go out, what kind of dress I should wear. And winter clothing. You take all precautions. But anyway, the word of God says, all flesh is like grass. And the beauty of a man is like a flower of the field. The grass is for a short time. And the beauty means all the achievements and accomplishments of the people. And people, they take pride in their achievements. I am something. I am so great. That is how a kind of egoism starts. That is, a pride comes because of our achievements, our accomplishments. I am something. I am something. I have earned something. I have done something. I have got this recognition. People are talking about me. I am great. What is our greatness? When we come to God, and God tells us our greatness. And he says, you are like grass. And as in Psalm 103 and verse 14, the word of God says, he remembers that we are of dust. He remembers. Every time God keeps remembering us that we are taken out of dust. Do we realize at any time that I am dust? No. If we are conscious of these realities, our behavior will be different. Our attitude will be different. Our talk will be different. And we humble ourselves. And Jesus Christ was the greatest example of humility. He said, I am meek and lowly. You learn of me. I am a meek man. I am a lowly man. People try to provoke him. People try to insult him. And people bat him. And people spat upon his face. And people scourged him. What was his reaction? Never, he retorted. Never. Retortation, retaliation is not spiritual. Because he committed everything to the hands of his Father in heaven, who is the righteous judge. So when we live in this world, our attitude should be like that of Jesus Christ, for which we need a lot of grace. And he's an example, Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, he left his richness, that is his glory, his heavenly glory, his heavenly throne. And being with his Father in heaven at his right hand, he left all his privileges. He left his position, the highest, and came down into this world. What for? Not to occupy Donald Trump's place. Came to every village, came to every person, talking to people, healing the leprosy people, going to a woman, talking to her. When she was humiliated in the streets, a woman caught in adultery, talking to her very graciously. And a Samaritan woman, as we read in the fourth chapter of John's Gospel, addressing her with very gracious words, ultimately changing their lives. His attitude, his talk changed the lives of the people. People were blessed by him. And ultimately he brought us salvation. He brought us redemption. Kindly say Ephesians and chapter 1 and verse 7. I'm reading Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. According to the riches of his grace, in whom we have redemption through his blood. We are redeemed. We are redeemed from our sins. When we come to him and we are honest before him to confess our sins, repent of our sins, and ask him forgiveness, he gives us redemption. How is it possible? He is not simply telling, hey, I have forgiven you, go away. No, he paid the penalty. Strictly speaking, we are the people to be killed because of our transgressions. We have to go through the punishment. But he took our punishment. He took our punishment. Some years back, a small incident took place in our local church in Hyderabad. I am just remembering. We had a watchman. In our church, we had a watchman. And one night, there was a theft in the church. Some people came to just to knock off all these water connection, these small things. That is the things of a little value. But in countries where there is poverty, people try to steal off even small things. So some people came to rob off certain things from the church. And some two boys were sleeping in our church, our church boys, youngsters, apart from the watchman. When they got up and they wanted to catch hold of the thief, and that man hit on the head with a spanner in his hand, the thief. So ultimately there was a great injury, terrible bleeding. Ultimately it became a police case, criminal case, because his life was at stake. Anyway, the police started investigation and all that. And they caught hold of the son of the watchman who gave information to the people, those who had this theft and all that. Anyway, to make it short, and the police rounded up this watchman's son and put him behind the bars. They wanted us to give a complaint. That became a big issue because that is a religious place. Church means a religious place. And this crime has taken place in a religious place. That will become a big issue in the government. So therefore, Assistant Commissioner of Police, he also came and with lots of police people, and he wanted us to give a complaint because they would investigate. We had to give. So they investigated and put this boy behind the bars. So one day we went to police station. This boy was behind the bars. So when we were going, I was just passing nearby that cell. And suddenly that boy, through that grill, he stretched forth his hands and caught hold of my feet. And he said, "Sir, please forgive me. Please forgive me." I never expected that boy was there. I was just passing, going to the inspector's room. And then he caught hold of my feet. "Sir, please forgive me. Please forgive me." And I was very much moved. I did not know what to do. I said, "You don't worry. You don't worry. You will be forgiven." He's asking. He's weeping. Literally weeping. Crying. "Please forgive me. Please forgive me." So I went to the inspector. And I asked him. Then he said, "Sir, we have already booked the case. And we don't know how to withdraw this case. And you go to assistant commissioner." He was at a different place. Then I went to that assistant commissioner. Already message has gone to him. Then when I went there, "Yes, sir, you are from the church." "Yes, sir." Then he said, you want to forgive that man?" I said, "Yes, because he is asking for forgiveness and we want to forgive." Then he said, "Sir, we are very sorry because the matter has already gone to the court. We have booked a case and filed it in the court. Now the matter is in the court. It is not in our hands. We can't do anything." "Then what to do? We have to deliver this. We have to release this man who is weeping and asking for forgiveness." Then again, we paid money and employed an advocate to argue on his behalf because he's a poor man, the son of a watchman. He cannot afford to employ a lawyer. So we have employed a lawyer on his behalf to release him. How this story looks like? This small incident that had happened, that is exactly what had happened. On our behalf, on our behalf, in order to deliver us, God had to pay the price. Actually, he is the judge. He is the judge. And he has to give right judgment. Judgment is that we should be punished. Then he went to the place where he has to take punishment, and he underwent that punishment. That is what we see here. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And in Romans chapter 3 and verse 24, we read one verse. Kindly see Romans 3 and verse 24. "Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." Justified freely through his grace. We are justified. How? We did not pay even a part of the money. The price. Of course, we cannot pay the full price. "At least I will pay a little price, some money." No, God doesn't require our money. Not our silver, not our gold. And he is justified freely. What a wonderful provision. It is by his grace. That is what we read in all these verses. Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Justified freely by his grace. So ultimately we got salvation. We got salvation through his grace again. By our faith in God. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." And in the 9th verse it is written, "Not of works, lest any man should boast." We cannot boast of our salvation. And we cannot be puffed up because we are saved people. "Oh, I am something great. What do you think of me? I am a child of God." When we think that we are children of God, it should humiliate us. It should humiliate us. We should not think, "What do you think? I am a child of God. I am greater than your president." Never we should, because that is pride again. We cannot take pride. The word of God says, "Not of works, lest any man should boast." It is by his grace, by our faith in Jesus Christ, he has given us this great salvation freely. Freely. Of course, the life of Peter is a classic example. Now I ultimately advise you to study the life of Peter. Apostle Peter. He was an ordinary fisherman. And in the word of God, it is said he was an unlearned man. Little education maybe. not much educated. And all the time he was by the Sea of Galilee and catching hold of fish. Lord called him. Will God call a fisherman, an unlearned man? That is again grace of God. God's grace. And his first words, the first words of God to him by the side of the Sea of Galilee, he said, "Follow me. I'll make you fishers of men." And the last words he spoke to Peter, as we read from John's Gospel, chapter 21 and verse 22, he said, "Follow me." That was after the resurrection of Lord Jesus Christ, before his ascension, when he was talking. He said, "Follow me." The first words, "Follow me." And the last words to Peter, "Follow me." And in between, you just make a study in your time. It's a wonderful study. All his situations he went through, ups and downs. You will get a graph like this. Peter was a man of overconfidence, over-enthusiastic. Ultimately, those are the things that ultimately made him to commit mistakes. And he denied, though he told the Lord, "I am prepared to lay down my life for you." A man who said like that denied the Lord three times. Three times. But afterwards, as you read from Matthew's Gospel 26th chapter, last verse, he wept bitterly. He realized. He realized his fallen condition. I'm just telling you in one word, if you make a study, you will understand wonderful things about this Peter by the grace of God. By all our efforts, we ultimately miss the bus. We try to do something. We try to acquire the spiritual things. We want to make our efforts. Ultimately, we are not able to reach the target. Nowadays, most of your employment is related to targets and achievements. For everything, a target is fixed. So people are struggling to achieve the target in their job situations. And our target, to reach these spiritual targets, we struggle and fail sometimes. We fail sometimes. But it is God who is giving his grace. His grace is sufficient in all our situations. Even in both epistles, his first epistle and second epistle, you read these two epistles also. Very small books. Very small. Hardly it takes 30 minutes to read. But you meditate. And the Holy Spirit of God will reveal many things. But ultimately, what Peter says in his first epistle and second epistle, I want to read it and close. First epistle of Peter and chapter 5 and verse 12. Last sentence I am reading. Second half of the 12th verse. 1 Peter 5:12, second half, testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein ye stand. The true grace of God wherein ye stand. That's the concluding. So in the chapters preceding this verse, various situations we go through in our lives. It may be your job situation, or it may be your family situation, or when you're confronted with people, and sometimes when people try to provoke you, or to do trying to do harm to you, or our attitude towards the governments or the kings, everything. So many details are given in our day-to-day living. And definitely we require grace of God in such situations to keep up our testimony and to live a life in conformity with the word of God. So finally he concludes that this is the true grace of God wherein ye stand. And in the second epistle also, second epistle and third chapter, second epistle, third chapter, 18th verse. This also, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is by his grace we are accepted. And it is by his grace we are being kept by the Lord in our situations. And the word of God expects us to grow in grace depending upon him in our Christian living. God help you. Thank you all.